Start by picking a couple platforms where, this is my suggestion, start where you pick and have a couple platforms where you have a lot of your people.
Yeah.
So right now, let me just, I'm going to pick on one of your examples. You said Twitch. Yeah. Go to where your people are, because having your content where your people are is going to make it easy for them to share. And yep. So get it to them in a way that they can missionally share it and broadcast it out. Didn't make any sense. Well, as we started digging into it, there was one guy who shared that online service with every one of the public groups that he's in. Like 305 bikers got the service and a plug for it.
Welcome to the Social Media Church Podcast. I'm Neil Smith, and I'm joined by my friend and your friend, Jeff Reed. Jeff, welcome to the podcast.
Awesome. Thanks for having me.
We are going to be talking about the world of church online. This is a topic conversation. This whole podcast was created probably 8 years ago now by DJ Chuang to talk about this topic. It's come a long way since this conversation began, but it still has a long way to go. From my perspective. And so I'm excited about this conversation. Jeff, can you share a little bit about your background in church online and what it is you do today?
Sure. Yeah. So I've been background in church ministry 15 years. I don't want to give you the resume, but production director, creative director, communications director, digital strategist, online pastor, weekend experience director, blah, blah, blah. It's been an awesome run. At this point, about a year ago, I honestly stepped away from like a full-time church staff position. Instead, I looked at kind of the landscape of where church is going and this idea of church online. And so I really started a separate company, completely entrepreneur on my own. It's called The Church .digital, where I help churches figure out how to do church online better. What church online even means and how to expand on that. You know, we know that basically there's probably about 10,000 churches in America each week that broadcast their services online, Facebook, church online platform, YouTube, things like that. And that's awesome. We want that. But even utilizing the technology that's open and available to the public to not just stop with the services, but to even expand into more and more. By the way, there's 10,000 churches that are doing that. There's like 350,000 evangelical churches in America. So very small percentage are broadcasting. To take it a step further, there's probably less than 300 that are actually doing some sort of like online small groups, biblical community, something like that. So when you've got 350,000 churches and like less than 300 are doing small groups, there's a vast gap there. And it's trying to help churches understand, hey, this digital disruption that we're feeling in churches now as the world around us is going more technological, this isn't something that we should avoid and consider an obstacle. This is something that we should embrace and find ways to work through it and find ways to make it work for us. And so it's helping churches kind of wrestle with that.
It is a wrestle, that's for sure. And I think what's happening in our world is that the world of online and offline are really becoming more and more gray or integrated. And so I think churches, it was either as if you use the internet or you didn't use the internet. But I think the question now is how to use the internet. Jeff, I got to share a quick story. And I want to hear your definition though, too, about what is church online. But I got to share a quick story of my kids today's Tuesday. My kids and I were out and about. We were on a daddy-daughter date. My kids wanted to go to the toy store here in New York City in our neighborhood. And so we went to a toy store. It was closed. So we went to the other local toy store, and it was closed. And my oldest daughter said, I know where a toy store is that's open right now. And my youngest daughter said, where? And she's like, the internet. And my youngest was like, the internet's awesome. Of course, the internet never closes. There's millions of toys on the internet. Let's go get on the toy store on the internet. And they came home. They got on their Chromebooks. They're 8 and 10 years old, and they went onto their digital toy store. And for the next 30 minutes, they went toy shopping on the internet. It is a digital world, and my kids, That is just a part of their world. It doesn't mean they stop going to physical toy stores, but it does mean that the digital world has connected their lives. So I share that to say that this is the world we're living in. It has gone digital in so many different aspects of our lives. But Jeff, when it comes to church, how do you define church online? When people ask you what that is?
Yeah, that's a great setup story, by the way. And I want to totally dig it into like the Chromebooks with the 8 and the 10. I got an 8 and a 10 year old as well. And so we've been wrestling with that.
Yeah.
But this is a really interesting, the word church online years ago, what was centered around the broadcast of a service from your broadcast campus, from your main campus out to the world. And it was used in context of missional. You know, I've talked to pastors who are like, yeah, you know what? I love the fact that somebody in Egypt is watching my message and I want that person to get saved. And so there's a missional implication to what we're doing. But unfortunately, with the majority of churches that are doing quote unquote church online, they're stopping with that broadcast, with that missional reach. What they haven't done yet and what the churches are now just starting to ramp up on is the discipleship, is the rest of it. Like, the average church in America is more than just the Sunday morning service, right? Like the average church, there's going to be small groups. There's going to be serving opportunities. There's probably some sort of local or global mission, some deep level discipleship to train others to share their faith. Like there's a ministry in church at the physical church is a very, rich, deep, heartfelt relationship. When it comes to the actual broadcast, that's often, or this church service, the 1 hour on Sunday, that's often the most unrelational thing we actually do as a church, because you're sitting in a room with hundreds of people watching one person, a pastor, exude his spiritual gift. But when it comes to church online, like, churches haven't taken that leap away from just the broadcast. And so the challenge and what I actually talk about is redefining what church online is. For so long, church online has just been, okay, we're broadcasting this service. I mean, even church online platform put out by Life Church is literally just broadcasting the service, not knocking Life Church. We love that platform and what it's able to do. But there's more to church than just broadcasting that service. It's an experience of a church service that you're broadcasting. Yes. You're not connecting to the relational aspects, to the discipleship aspects. And the funny thing is that pastors will tell you, oh, you can't do that. You can't be in a biblical community together. Really, unless you're breathing the same air, which I find hilarious. Nils, I love you. And like, we're in opposite sides of the country right now having this conversation and we're connecting.
Yes.
I lead a small group myself that has people in probably 4 or 5 different states across the country. And we meet on Tuesday nights. We're family. We've done it for a year, gone through 2 books of the Bible, ramping up for a third right now, but there's intimacy involved in the relational aspects. Yes. By the way, tech wise, we use Zoom. Not that you have to, but like that's just the platform we use. It seems to be the most stable. There are plenty of other options out there to look at. But the idea of, and getting back to your toy story, toy story, not that toy story, the other toy story, the story about your toy store, is there's this melding of physical and digital at this point. Yes. And this is really the thing that I think that the church is struggling with today. I talked with a church just this week, from Kansas, who the leadership looks at the dip in physical attendance and this huge spike of physical attendance, or excuse me, digital. So online is going up, physical attendance is going down, and they're having hard conversations about whether or not to shutter the doors of their online church because they're saying, well, we value physical more than online. When the analytics are actually showing with this particular church that the spike in online attendance, yes, there is some of it from within 20-mile, 30-mile radius of the church, but there's a lot that's outside of the church. And so what's actually happening is the church is getting reach beyond its 20-mile radius around the physical campus. So in effect, the church online is growing, and now it's starting to reach people that need to be discipled. It's you're getting lives changed outside the 20-mile radius, but you're not offering anything to those people to help them understand who God is and to help them grow deeper in their faith. Yes. And so as much as there was a book maybe 20 years ago, I'm blanking on this title right now. But it was the technology, and it was a business book, but technology in general is there's coldness to it. Yes. And it was High Tech, High Touch. That was the name of the title. Anyway, the purpose of the book was the more technology that you use, the more relational you have to be to combat the coldness and the distance of the technology. And so as church online, we got to wrestle with that.
Yeah.
One thing I love, I'm not making it to the toy story because that's a great story. Amazon right now, if you want to return something to Amazon, you can box it up and you can, you know, ship it off to Amazon, pay the freight. You know, Amazon's super good with that.
Yep.
Or you can take it to your neighborhood Kohl's.
Yep.
Because Kohl's accepts any product back from Amazon. Because Kohl's wants you to be walking around with a handful of cash in a Kohl's store. Whether or not Kohl's even carries the item, you can return it to Kohl's and get cash back for that. And so as a result of it, you're seeing another experience of where physical and digital are getting melded together. The church in Kansas has this opportunity to create a discipleship process utilizing digital technology to not only reach somebody maybe a couple states away, but to better connect with the people within their own city.
Yeah,
I think the mistake of the, I'll just confess for me, 2015, I sat down with a church I was on staff with.
Yep.
And we were talking about, okay, well, we're expanding church online and it's growing and it's huge. What is this? And I want to confess something. 2015, I fought for it to be a campus.
Yeah.
Because, and my logic was, if it's not a campus, then I don't know what it is.
Yeah.
But it wasn't. And I honestly, in retrospect, I think that was a mistake, because when it became a campus, okay, so now that's only for the people outside of that 20-mile radius. Whereas church online, between broadcast of services, online small groups, discipleship material, church online really offers value not only to the person on the other side of the country,
yeah,
but to the person on the other side of the street.
Hmm.
And within my own online small group, there are people that live 5 minutes away from me. But because of schedule, because of life, it's just more convenient for them to jump into a group. And if you've got young kids, you know how difficult it is to go to a physical small group at, you know, 7 o'clock at night. You get home at 9:30, everybody's cranky, the kids got a shower and, you know, yeah, homework. Like it's, yeah, maybe it's right, maybe it's wrong, but it's the right way to get people connected into this deeper relationship.
I love it. I love it. I think, you know, there's so many complexities to this conversation. And I remember, Jeff, having, you know, when I got started in the world of church online, it was about 10 years ago, and people thought, you know, we were nuts. You know, at Community Bible Church, we were one of the first, I would probably guess, 10, 12 churches into the space. And I remember too, I was, you know, a heretic. I was helping people cheat on their spouses because the internet, people cheated on their spouses on the internet. I was all these things of like, I can't believe you're doing this. Well, today the conversation has shifted of how do we maximize the internet? I think there's no doubt there are challenges to online interactions. There are bad habits that are created. There are things that are unhealthy in how we interact online, yet there is incredible value of also what happens online of, you know, we live in New York, my family's in Texas. Thank God for things like Zoom and FaceTime to allow for my kids to be really connected to my parents. The incredible connection of technology. The other side is that I think that we see, and it's interesting to hear your story about a church who feels like their physical attendance is declining and their digital attendance is increasing, because to this point in 10 years, I've yet to have a real conversation, unless there was a unique circumstance, of a church who hasn't increased in physical attendance after they went online. It is a front door for your church. Before you go to a restaurant, you check the menu online. You check, you know, the Yelp reviews. We interact. And so it really augments. And the reality is, people, you know, there's so many aspects of people aren't attending every Sunday very often, but the way they're able to be connected when they're not there, the way they're able to connect between Sundays, There are so many tools that it can augment what's happening in your physical space for local your local congregation, as well as allowing you to have a global presence and engagement. There's so many value adds to the world of church online, and there's so many complexities. I think there are so many things. I was with an organization, you know, last week who was really wrestling through their ecclesiology around church online, and what are we going to call this church, or is this basically a live stream? And I think that language is important. I think it's a good wrestle for churches to figure out. But I also think that while you're so busy trying to figure that out, you're missing incredible kingdom opportunities. Yeah. And as you're doing it, and this is what we found. I remember when we launched online church at Community Bible Church, we launched it in a week, literally from our first time as an experiment. We didn't know what we were doing. And then we had the question of communion or baptism and membership and small groups. And we figured it out and we wrestled with it and we made some mistakes, but it was okay. I think today you can learn from churches like Life Church or Saddleback or Christ Fellowship or many of these churches that have led the way for years in this space and learned a lot. But I think you also need to figure it out for yourself. But don't wait till you have it all figured out to go. Yeah. Start figuring it out. Look, Jeff, I want to get into technology a little bit, because a big barrier to entry for a lot of churches who do say, we want to use the internet, but it's too expensive. Talk about what you're seeing in the state of technology in the world of church online, and where do you see it going?
Sure. Well, I can tell you, it's never been cheaper than it is today. Yeah. And so things, it was funny. Like I had a church I was meeting with, a couple of pastors. One of them was pro, one of them was con, and church online with the tech piece. And I brought up the cost, and the one pastor was like, Jeff, it's just too expensive. We can't afford it. And the other pastor was like, you can't afford not to do this.
Yes.
And it really just becomes this different set of mind. There are, and it was funny, we were talking earlier, we've got a mutual friend with Jim Tomberlin, who is the father of multi-sites, right? Yeah. And so, I mean, literally like one of the four founders of this, I don't want to overstate, but just really was involved with Willow Creek, creating the movement of multi-site today. And there were plenty of hurdles along the way in Jim's story of, hey, you know what, is this multi-site thing going to work? And it, you know, I call it limitations of the model, where there's a problem. And so, but one of the things that I love about Jim is he slammed the door. He got people in the room and said, guys, we got to solve this. Let's figure it out. And years later, there are thousands of multi-site churches in America that are utilizing that method to reach out. Yeah. But it's all because guys like Jim saw the limitations of the model and said, we got to figure this out.
Yep.
The truth is, like, we don't have church online figured out. Mm-hmm. We need to, and we need churches to embrace it, to experiment, to dive into it.
Yeah.
The technology, you know, is readily more and more available. Broadcast is getting cheaper and cheaper. Vendors like Living as One, vendors like StreamMonkey are doing phenomenal work to get the broadcast out. And we're seeing that where it hits homes, web browsers, mobile devices. It's interesting. There's a subculture movement happening right now, looking at Elevation, looking at Saddleback, First yeah. Capital Christian up in Indiana, where they're starting to create a micro location out of this. I was actually working with a church in San Francisco for a while, south of San Francisco, actually. But it was a landlocked church, and they had, so there was no growth. There was no multi-site because it was in that area. It was just way too much money. And they were working towards creating their multi-site strategy was centered on digital, around these micro locations.
Yeah.
There's a church up in New England where it's like 95% of the people are not coming to the church because there's so much negativity.
Yes.
And so for this pastor, he's looking at creating a micro-site movement, empowering people, breaking up. They're literally talking about selling off chunks of the physical campus, just having a broadcast center, and then using technology to create micro locations where people can invite their neighbors and their friends in and experience church in a safer environment.
Yes.
And so the technology of this is, man, hook up a Chromebook. to a TV. You're not talking like rocket science here. Something fancy would be like an Apple TV app, which might even be overkill in some context of this.
Yeah.
When it comes to like, you know, what you and I are doing, talking together, Zoom, BlueJeans, Google Hangout. I've been really impressed with Google Hangout in recent months.
Yep.
But this is the other thing that I do know. As 5G within 2020 starts to roll out, we're going to see more and more churches, more and more businesses embracing this technological movement and utilizing this. There's a church, forgive me, now I'm blanking on the name of the church, but it's the church that pioneered the church home movement, which is a mobile app that leads somebody through a discipleship process. So you can, you know, study the word, learn. It's a mostly automated process. And Judah Smith is the lead pastor over there. And he got a lot of heat publicly when he rolled this thing out. It was funny. Like there was a tweet, and I'll never forget it. This is the tweet. Now, I'm not going to say the full thing because you probably don't have like the censored beep thing on your end. But it was, I don't care, insert word there. I don't care what you call this thing, but don't you dare call it church.
Wow.
And I'm like, okay, Twitter's Twitter. Get it. But I mean, we've created a system utilizing technology to help people grow deeper in their faith, connecting to a weekend service through, but don't effing care because it's not, don't you dare call it church. Like that doesn't, the two things don't equate.
Yes.
And so church, like embrace the technology that's here.
Yes.
You can Luddite yourself. We can become the Amish of the 22nd century. And maybe that is biblically the right thing to do. And some churches probably will move in that direction and become that.
Yeah.
Here's what I know. God is bigger than technology. God is bigger than church online. God is bigger than these issues. And he's going to find ways to use this for his glory. He already has.
Yes.
Anyway.
So tell me if you're thinking about, or you're talking to a church, a smaller church on a small budget. Well, actually, let me pull back. I want to talk through even phases of complexity for a church really getting started. And I think we often start around the worship services. But even thinking about our worship experience online, when I got started in this space, really all we thought about when we thought about going online was a desktop experience. It was create a website because there was no Facebook Live, there was no YouTube Live, there were no TV apps, there was mobile was a thing of the future. You know, we had iPhones, but you weren't really streaming on iPhones. And so it was a desktop experience and you used the church online platform. Well, now you've got Facebook Live and YouTube Live and Twitch and Periscope, and you can have TV apps and mobile apps and be everywhere. How do you know where to be? Should you be everywhere? Should you be just somewhere? How do you navigate all the options today? Where do you start?
You start by picking a couple platforms where, this is my suggestion, start where you pick and have a couple platforms where you have a lot of your people.
Yeah.
So right now, I'm going to pick on one of your examples. You said Twitch.
Yeah.
If you're like, what is Twitch? You don't need to be on Twitch.
Good work.
Go to where your people are, because having your content where your people are is going to make it easy for them to share. And so get it to them in a way that they can missionally share it and broadcast it out. There was a day, this is a couple of years ago when I was on staff, and when we saw a spike in attendance online and Facebook of like 3,000 people.
Yeah.
And it wasn't something we could like qualify, blah, 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 whatever. Didn't make any sense. Well, as we started digging into it, there was one guy who shared that online service with every one of the public groups that he's in. Like 305 bikers got the service and a plug for it, you know? And so like whatever this guy was in, the 20 some groups, 30, whatever it was, he just cast it out. And every one of those netted 100 plus views.
Wow.
And so that was a lot more exposure, but it was because we put it where the people were.
Yeah.
Now to follow up, like if you do know what Twitch is, that's awesome. But would a church service on broadcast really work to reach the Twitch audience?
Yeah.
So the second part of that in phases is maybe you don't need to just look at your service as, okay, well, I've got to syndicate this church service or this sermon out to as many people as possible, utilizing all this platform. But okay, so Twitch is a bunch of, you know, young adults, kids, and people addicted to gaming. What content can we create that can get people, forgive me for the addicted line, what content can we create that would reach that type of person?
Yeah.
Don't just try to shoehole people in. Figure it out. YouTube is the second, if you separate YouTube and Google, YouTube's the second largest search engine. Like, we all know this. It's huge.
Yep.
But a 50-minute sermon ain't doing jack on YouTube.
Yep.
A smaller component that's designed to be more searchable in that component than onboards people into a service or onboards people into some sort of a discipleship process. Like, that's what's necessary. Yes. Start with the services, get them to where it's at, create some sort of discipleship process so you're actually a church and not just like somebody doing a sermon online, and then create as much content as you can that can target and connect with people and funnel them into this discipleship process online.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. So I'm going to tap into you as a consultant right now, and I want to hear your perspective. So I'm going to give you about a minute to answer each of these, because I'm really curious to get your perspective of phases into this. So the first thing, in you know, about a minute, how would you tell a church plant, maybe a one pastor, maybe one and a half staff that wants to get online, where do they start? What technology do they use? What platforms do they use? How do they get started in online church?
A church plant, man, get out there, utilize Facebook Live, target the areas of target market, the areas that you want to reach. Utilize, and I would do this even if you're a church planter that's moving to an area, I would do this in another state. Start to see that area around where you want to start to reach. Connect with people, utilize Zoom or Facebook groups, Facebook Messenger to create community to start to spread your DNA into the area. You can do this wherever you live, not where you want to go to.
Yep.
And so definitely start to market and seed that specific area. Social media, Facebook, maybe a Zoom account. And Zoom is free, you know, for 40 minutes or 45, something like that. And so your cost is going to be marketing. But you can meet and target and reach people very effectively doing that.
Yeah, that's good. That's good. Good advice. And that's where a lot of churches are starting. Really, you know, start simple. And Facebook, there's almost 3 billion active users on Facebook. It might not be as popular with the young generation, who we all think is exactly who we want to reach online. But it is for the greatest mass, and it's where the most people are still spending the majority of their time. I think I read a stat earlier that the average American is logging into Facebook something like 21 times a day, or something just crazy. But it's on average of the average YouTube sit-down time is about 42 minutes. Average Facebook sit-down time is less than 7 minutes. And so you're popping in and out of Facebook, but there's a lot of engagement happening across the board on Facebook still. So good, great call there. Okay, let's talk about phase two. So maybe you're looking at like a part-time staff person dedicated to online church. You've been doing Facebook Live. You're seeing attraction. You're maybe having 100 people, 150 people a week logging in. You want to take it to the next level. Where do you go from there?
Yeah. So to that end, and this is the most popular model I deal with today. There's probably only 20 people in the country that are full-time dedicated to online ministry. It's usually a part-time student, you know, online, or a kid online, or an IT online. So you got 150 people that's watching. Awesome. Who are they?
Yeah.
Figure out how to meet them. Figure out their story and start to build relationships with them. And this gets back to the thing of, you know, like I said, church would say, oh, I don't want to do this until I get everything figured out. No, get the people. And then when you get the people, then figure out the next step.
Yeah.
And so maybe that's an after service, you know, a Facebook group, or doing a watch party later on, or in a chat room, or, you know, a Facebook wall or something like that. Or maybe it's a Zoom thing. Zoom can handle up to 50 people at the same time in there. But start to build relationships with them. Because if you're a church, you're more than just broadcasting that service. It's not just an online experience. It's church online. And so those 150 people, well, if you had 150 people just attending at a physical campus, What's the next step? You'd want to, let's get you in a small group. Let's get you in a membership, a next step, a one-on-one. Let's, whatever your process is at the physical church, those 150 people that are now watching online, it's time for you to integrate them deeper into your church online.
I love it. I love it. Now let's talk about, for a church that is wanting to push the limits of technology, budget isn't a limit, staffing isn't a limit. They want to go all in on church online. Where do you encourage them to invest their resources, to where to staff, how to staff? What do you say for a church that really wants to go all in with church online?
Yeah, I had an online pastor call me, and he said, Jeff, I just got $5,000.
Yes.
Somebody just gave me $5,000 dedicated to the online campus.
Yeah.
What should I do? Literally, the question was, what should I do with this? And the follow-up question I asked them was, okay, so are you having problems getting people to attend the service? Are you having problems with getting connected to figure out who the people are? Like, what's your strategy for this?
Yeah.
Because here's what I know. To answer your question, well, Nils, I have to ask like several others. Because at the end of the game, there's probably four or five different strategies for church online. Is the end game of church online to get people in the seats, so it's a great front door? Is the end game to gather people together to create micro locations or even future multi-site campuses? Like what's the purpose of that?
Yeah.
And so there's a strategy component to this. Now, like if you were telling me, well, Jeff, if you had the money, what would you spend? Like what's the next frontier? I think micro locations is this next model all right, so we've got this broadcast service. I'm a multi-site church. I already believe theologically that I can create different locations. Instead of paying a pastor, a campus pastor, to go lead 250 people at, you know, new campus Z, 40 minutes away from me, what if we train volunteers to lead a campus of 20 to 30 people out of a home or out of a workplace or out of a rehab center? And so, and I mentioned Church Anywhere, First Capital Christian, like that's the thing they did.
Yeah.
But where they now have 16, they call them campus pastors, but they're essentially volunteers who are leading micro locations in prison ministries, in after school centers, in hospital rehab centers, in the most phenomenal, heartfelt, ministry minded places. And they've effectively reaching, the church is only the size of 850, so medium-sized church. Yep. But they're reaching another 450 to 500 people a week through these micro locations. Yep. And so a small church that's like, and the budget on this, once again, it's a Chromebook hooked up to a TV, and chances are the location already has a TV.
Yep.
And so it's utilizing a strategy for church online. Yes. The problem with church online in church today isn't we don't have the money. Yes. It's we don't have a strategy. Mm-hmm. And so when the strategy comes, you figure out the money. Yes. You're going to fire a bullet before you fire a cannonball. It's a old saying that's been told to me over the years. But at the end of the day, you're going to start small. You're going to gather those people. You're going to learn who those people are. You're going to meet them. You're going to get them plugged into a process. And then you're going to figure out, well, now that they're plugged in, where are they going? Where do we want them to go?
Yes.
And it's that experiment to get there. That was longer than a minute. I'm sorry. But
no, this is, that's good. I mean, I think, and I want to, what I heard and what I want to feel like I want to just affirm is where I wouldn't spend the technology or the money is in technology, because I feel like a lot of people they see Church Home and they see that app. And they're like, if we had an app like that, then we'd be able to reach and engage people in a really incredible way. Or if we had, whatever technology that we might see, the fact is Church Online platform is awesome and it's free. And StreamMonkey has created a great streaming provider. You don't need to build your own streaming service. Like, use these technologies that are affordable, powerful. Facebook is free, YouTube is free. Use these technologies. It's really, if I were to look at where I'd invest, advertising will help you scale. As you were saying, do you need to grow? Are you not reaching enough people? I think great content, really invest in creating great content. That matters. The quality matters. And really at the core is community. Because if you're reaching people and you're not engaging them in community, it's not church. And I think that's where you have to then lean into staffing and staffing at the end of the day that can scale, that's empowering volunteers and leaders to really effectively engage micro sites, online small groups, discipleship resources. There's so much there. But I think what I would advise and what I heard you say is, you know, the technology is not where you need to be investing. It's really figuring out, do we need to focus more on community? Do we need to focus more on growth? Do we need to focus more on content development and improving our production side of things? So anyways, it is an exciting day in the world of Church Online. As we wrap up this podcast, Jeff, is there any final advice you want to share with pastors or ministry leaders that are listening today?
Yeah, don't be afraid to experiment. So often, I was at a conference and I heard an executive pastor who is a former Fortune 500 CTO, well-known company, you know, pedigree. I feel like I should like really respect this person and what they were saying. And so I went to the breakout, I was listening to the person, and this was pretty much the takeaway. This is a technology innovation conference. And the person basically said, hey, smaller, medium-sized churches, wait for the big churches to figure it out. And then once they pay for all the bleeding edge, you know, tech and get the systems figured out, then just copy what they do. I died inside just hearing that, because while we love the Saddlebacks and while we love the Elevations and these, what these giga churches are doing, and yes, they are paving the way for a much larger conversation. Some of the stuff, and I've mentioned First Capital a couple of times, but some of the stuff they've done, a small church on the wrong side of town, on the wrong side of the railroad tracks, way out in the boondocks, is reaching 500 people within their small town of 3,000 people. I mean, think about it, 450 people in a town of 3,000. So essentially, more than 10% of the town is attending a micro location of this church. Like, that's phenomenal. But it's because the church took the time, built it in the strategy, experimented. What you're doing today might not work in 6 months, but we're learning through the process. Yeah. You have to learn in through the process. One of the biggest mistakes that I made in my time as an online pastor, and I'll confess this real quick in closing. Yeah. I carried the ministry. I ran to the end of the dock, doing it all on my own. And when I turned around and I needed help, I discovered that nobody was with me. And at that point, I needed like to have a high school level conversation with leadership to have them understand and help me make this next decision. Unfortunately, because I didn't bring any leadership with me along the way, and we didn't learn together through this, leadership wasn't ready for a high school level conversation. They were still in third grade, proverbially speaking. They were more in elementary. They weren't where I was. And so as a result of that, church, like, experiment, learn, discuss, educate along the way. New technology comes out. Hey, we need to pivot a little bit here. That's okay. You want that in order to be effective. Don't, hey, we got a 5-year plan on how to develop this thing. And oh, new social media network came out. That's awesome. No, we can't adapt to that because it's not API, blah, blah, blah. Be flexible enough to adjust with this thing. And you're going to learn along the way how to do it effectively.
I love it. I love it. Jeff, I appreciate so much the conversation you're leading, how you're leading it. It has been a blessing to know you, to learn with you through the years. And I love every article I read from you. And I know those listening to this podcast are going to want to connect with you. So go to thechurch.digital, check out all that Jeff is doing and how he might be able to help your church or ministry further accomplish your goals. Thanks so much for listening to this episode of the podcast. For show notes, go to socialmedia.church, and to learn more and listen to other episodes. Thanks so much for listening.